Part 3, from Meditation for Body, Mind, and Spirit. Now, during the third eye or jyoti meditation we have been doing, I invite you to think of some name, word, or phrase that you can repeat in order to help keep the mind steady. Today I'm going to give you some specific options, and in the course of doing so, convey some powerful concepts from the heart of the ancient spiritual meditation traditions. A word, words, or phrase that is said to have vibratory power and is repeated over and over in order to stabilize the mind and draw it deep into itself is called a mantra in the ancient Sanskrit language. The repetition of a mantra in meditation, and even throughout the day-to-day life, is termed simran, which essentially means remembrance. Why remembrance? Because most mantras are designed in some way to remind us of our innermost nature and the spiritual source of life. The term zikr is used among the Islamic Sufis and has exactly the same meaning, remembrance. In yoga, the repetition of a mantra is termed japa. By regular use of the mantra throughout the day, when the person sits for silent meditation, they are already to some extent concentrated within. The repetition of the mantra in the course of daily life has anchored their attention. This portion and the next, we're going to look at various examples of mantras and what they mean. You might choose to adopt one that may suit you for your own meditation practice, or you are welcome to take any word or phrase that is personally meaningful to you. In many meditation traditions, certain mantras are given at the time of initiation. What is initiation? Initiation is when you're accepted by a spiritual master and given the keys to higher spiritual experience. Many meditation traditions are associated with a deeper kind of entry into spiritual life. Meditation is taught by an advanced spiritual guide or mentor, and the method and mantra are conveyed in a sacred ceremony. In many traditions, initiation is not just the learning of a method, but is accompanied by an initial spiritual experience. Sometimes there are prerequisites of initiation, such as certain dietary or lifestyle restrictions. Obviously, what we are doing has nothing to do with formal initiation as such, though the jyoti meditation is part of a method known as Surat Shabd Yoga, where the entire process, as well as an inner experience of the opening of the inner door, occurs at the time of initiation. The use and value of a mantra has various layers of depth and significance. When it is conveyed by a spiritual master, it is said to be charged with the spiritual power of that teacher's realization. For our purposes, it is basically to give the mind something to chew on, to keep at the center, in order to help focus our awareness. One of the values of a mantra is that repetition also helps the mind trance out of its normal thought stream, and therefore can deepen the experience of meditation. As I mentioned, simran, the repetition of the mantra, is often practiced outside of meditation to clear thought and maintain constant remembrance of the spiritual essence of life. There is a famous book from the mid-1800s titled The Way of a Pilgrim, which is said to be the account of a Russian Christian seeker who is possessed by a desire to understand the meaning of St. Paul's injunction to pray ceaselessly. At a monastery in Russia, he eventually meets a steretz, the term in the Russian Orthodox tradition for an advanced spiritual elder, who teaches him the mantra, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, which he is instructed to repeat as often as possible. He is also taught to meditate in silence, concentrating on the image of the Christ in his heart, while using the phrase, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. He describes developing more and more spiritual experiences using this practice. In the Catholic tradition, the phrase, Hail Mary, full of grace, and other more lengthy prayers were often done with a rosary, a string of beads used to keep the spiritual follower engaged in frequent, if not constant, spiritual activity. In all traditions, East and West, that use the rosary, the turning or fingering of the beads one at a time is done with the repetition of a mantra, where the act itself stands in for the mantra. Sometimes the number of repetitions of the mantra is counted with beads. There are various ways that the rosary is used. Of course, it is very easy for the use of a rosary to deteriorate into the rote turning of beads while the mind plays on. Nevertheless, I just wanted to mention that rosaries have been a tool of Simran in a wide variety of traditions, Christian, Islamic, Hindu, and Buddhist. So mantra can be a vehicle for staying present in awareness, attuned to our inner center amidst our outer circumstances. The great mantra of the Jews, their statement of faith, is called the Shema. If you are Jewish and identify with your tradition, then this may be a mantra you may wish to employ and will be very familiar to you. It goes, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, which means, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Two other possible Jewish mantras come to mind. One is Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. It is short, to the point, which makes it a very pleasant mantra for repetition. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. In the mystical traditions of Judaism, a common mantra would be Yod Heh Vav Heh, which is the direct naming of the letters of one of the names of God that is often pronounced Yahweh, or corrupted in English as Jehovah. Yod Heh Vav Heh is rich in mystical significance, but it doesn't feel like a rabbit hole we need to go down, except to say that the visual Hebrew letters and the overall meaning of the phrase is quite close to other mantras we'll be discussing tomorrow, in that it attempts to symbolize the Creator and the creation in a kind of shorthand, here in just four Hebrew letters. It also has good qualities for a mantra in that it is easy to repeat and a little sing-songy. Yod Heh Vav Heh. Yod Heh Vav Heh. Yod Heh Vav Heh. The Muslims have their own statement of faith called the Shahada. The first part of the two-part phrase of the Shahada is La ilaha illallah, often used as a mantra for both regular repetition and silent meditation among some Islamic sects. The meaning of the phrase is, There is no God but God. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Another mantra of Islam is Allahu Akbar, meaning God is the highest. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There are many other mantras among the Sufis. However, what we've given here is simple and accessible. The Shema and Shahada, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and there is no God but God, these are simple declarations of faith, but not that descriptive. They are spare and rather dry assertions of monotheistic belief. Mantras in the East are less literal and more of a transmission of information as a kind of word picture. This is aided by the fact that in Sanskrit, the ancient sacred language of India, very involved ideas that require many words in English are very often packed into a single Sanskrit term. The Tibetan Buddhist root mantra is Om Mani Padme Hum. This is often interpreted as the jewel in the lotus, referring to the diamond-like spiritual essence that sits within our consciousness, the jewel in the lotus. You could think of the mantra's meaning as the essence within the essence, or the jewel-like soul within the lotus-like mind of enlightenment. It is a kind of invocation or an honoring of that innermost reality of our being. The lotus itself is a profound symbol. The lotus flower sits upon the calm waters of the pond, its roots resting in the mud, its flower rising through the waters, revealing a deep, delicate beauty. It is a symbol of the mind's rise out of materialism into its awakened self-awareness. The jewel within that is the soul, the true beauty, and the real power that drives the whole play, a drop of the ocean of consciousness, the life principle within us. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. The second major mantra of Tibetan Buddhism is the Padmasambhava mantra. Om Ahum Vajra Guru Padme Siddhi Hum. Om Ahum Vajra Guru Padme Siddhi Hum. Padmasambhava is a mythical Buddha-like figure who brought Buddhism to Tibet in the 8th century. The mantra is a particularly beautiful and powerful one, as again it embodies something of God and creation in a single short message, much like Yodhe Vauhe. So I'd like to take some time to unpack this mantra, and we'll do that tomorrow. For now, let's meditate. This is Meditation 3 of the series Meditation for Body, Mind, and Spirit. A meditation for the first floor and Jyoti meditation. You are seated, comfortable, and relaxed. Close your eyes and release the world outside. Allow yourself to be fully present, releasing all the concerns of your day-to-day life. This is a time for you. A time to draw within and consciously align yourself in mind, body, and spirit. Relax and ground inside your body as a whole. Feel the easy and natural sensation of your wholeness. Your entire body as a comfortable unity. This is in itself a wonderful sensation. We will begin with 3 or 4 abdominal breaths to help us become inwardly energized and more fully relaxed and present. Breathe by drawing the air in from the back of the nose and throat, while expanding your belly to draw the breath down, rounding your belly. Continue drawing the air in as the lungs expand and fill to the top. Pause and gradually push the air out from the belly and then the lungs. While pressing the air out from the back of the throat, allow the air to fully release and pause. Then again, expanding the belly and drawing the air down from the back of the nose and throat. Fill your belly, allow your lungs to fill, and then pause. Then collapsing your belly, allow the air to flow out. Collapsing your lungs and pushing the last of the air out from the back of your throat. Once more, drawing the air down, rounding your belly, filling your lungs to the very top. Pausing and then allowing the belly to compress, the air flowing out from the back of your throat and nose. Your lungs collapsing. All of the air releasing. And then pause. And now simply relax while continuing to breathe with gentle depth. Now let the energy of your breath and your awareness flow down through the trunk of your body, through your arms, and slowly down your legs. If you are sitting on a chair, allow the energy of your breath and awareness to flow down your legs and into the earth. If you are sitting cross-legged, allow the energy to move down through your lower body, down into the earth. Let's explore our tree-ness. There is so much beauty and power in a tall tree reaching up to the sun and down into the earth. Imagine your lower body and legs are like a trunk. And as your attention meets the earth, the roots spread out, drawing nourishment, deepening our sense of belonging and of gratitude. Whatever emotions or tensions you're holding on to in your body that you would like to release, carry them with your breath and your intention down through the roots and into the earth. Let those roots spread as far and as deeply as your imagination may choose. It is wonderful to embrace our relationship to the earth. Just as the child grows up but never forgets their mother, similarly, childlike humanity, for all her bad behavior, is the evolutionary crown of life on Earth. We've pulled our roots out of the soil. We walk freely upon the earth. We drive on it and even fly above it and away from the earth itself. This moment is your chance to connect again and embrace the ground you stand on. This earth that is raising you like corn to realize something of who you truly are and move towards your fullest potential. Now that your body feels well grounded, let's allow your attention to rise back to the command center on the third floor as we turn our attention again towards the inner eye, the third eye, called by so many names. The single eye, Shiv Netra. Jyoti Meditation. With your eyes and forehead completely relaxed, gaze with an effortless effort into the middle of the darkness lying in front of you, about 8 to 10 inches ahead. Your entire attention is now present in looking into the doorway as if you were looking at a movie screen. Repeat the mantra you have selected slowly, maybe at intervals, so as not to disturb your attention. Continue to gaze into the middle of the darkness for some time, and if you're able to do this, you may experience colors or flashes of light. You may see blue sky with clouds or stars. If you see the stars, try to find the bright star and gaze into the middle of it, which will allow you to experience the bright light of the moon, or the luminous sunlight, or golden light. Whatever you see, continue to gaze into the middle of it in an unbroken manner, with your attention wholly and solely focused into that small area. Continue to repeat the mantra you've chosen. There is no need to clutch for one thing or another. Whatever comes to you, it is what is meant for you. There is nothing that has to happen other than the withdrawal of your attention to this Ajna center, the third eye. The rest is merely icing on the cake. We'll meditate now silently together for 10 minutes, and I will let you know when it is time to leave off. You can now leave off your meditation. I hope you've enjoyed your meditation today, and I welcome you to write me with any questions you may have regarding your experience. This ancient method of meditation is part of a practice called Surat Shabd Yoga, meditation on inner light and sound. And I would like to acknowledge Sant Rajinder Singh Ji Maharaj, the present spiritual master of this ancient tradition, who has made the Jyoti meditation widely available for everyone to take the benefit of meditation on inner light. Have a wonderful day.